Hi, this is Danielle from The Jealous Curator, and this is episode 75 of Art for Your Ear. I cannot even believe that. Okay, you all know this next part. This episode is supported by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. Visit them at saatchiart.com. So, I have spoken to artists about working with homemade paint, flowers, glass tiles, paper, found images, egg tempera paint, but today is a new one. Lint. Yep, the fluff that you pull out of your dryer after a load of laundry used to create stunning portraits. Today I am talking to Canadian artist Tanya Corky about lint. I cannot wait. We have a little bit of a time difference because she's living in London at the moment. Oh, and we both have colds, so you'll have to forgive any random coughing that occurs. Okay, ready? Let's talk about lint. Hi, Tanya.
Hello.
You are in London right now.
I am in London.
But you don't live in London, do you?
I just moved here in August.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so exciting. So before that, were you in Toronto or Kingston?
Oh, that's a long story.
Oh.
I've been living in Toronto for the past like 7 years or so.
Yeah.
I went back to school, so I moved back home and with my parents to do my Bachelor of Education. So I went back to Kingston.
Oh, were you going to Queens or where?
I was going to Queens, yes.
I love Kingston.
Yeah, you've been there?
Yeah, I lived in Toronto for years, and I had lots of friends in Kingston, and it was just such a fun town. It's such a university town, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very pretty.
It is really pretty, right on the lake and everything. Yeah, I loved it, and we'd go to sandbanks all the time and Picton, and yeah, I love that part of the world. And so, but now you've just moved to London.
I have, yeah. New chapter.
Yeah. How's it going?
It's pretty good, actually. I love the city.
Yeah.
And it feels a lot like home. So
yeah.
That's nice. There are differences. But yeah, it feels a lot like Canada, which is nice. I needed that for my first year away from the country, I think.
That's right. Yeah. You get English. The Queen is on all your money still. All good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about lint.
Let's do it.
Well, it's so funny because I don't know the first time I wrote about you or even how I found you. I don't know. But I loved your work immediately. I have a thing for portraits. I have a thing for sort of vintage. And I loved your palettes and then realized it was lint.
Mm-hmm.
Which made me love it even more. And I've just been actually planning a show with Alison Milne Gallery.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and so we were talking about you, and I didn't realize that they had, you know, had your work and stuff, and I was like, oh, maybe that's how I found you. Anyway, it got me thinking about you again, and I thought, I want to phone you and ask you about lint. So before we start talking about you asking people for their leftover laundry lint.
Yeah.
Were you, okay, let's just go backwards because I want to know, were you always an artsy kid? Were you collecting lint when you were six? How did all this happen?
No, so as a kid, I think I was always fiddling and building things and making things and painting and drawing and whatnot, but I didn't really think that I was like, gonna go with it as a career, you know. It was more of like a hobby, and then I got into grade 9, and I had a teacher, and she really encouraged me to keep at it. And I don't know, that was just really special to me. So I started really loving it and really trying and really getting into it. But it wasn't until my third year of university that I was like, I need to do this like full time. This is what I need to do.
Wow. What were you in university for? Were you minoring in art or were you dabbling?
No, I was majoring in art.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was going through to become an art teacher. So when I first went into university, I was like, I need to get my degree and get out of here and start working. And then when I got to third year, I was like, stop everything. I need to stop everything. And then 3 years following university, all I did was work on my work. And it was just like happening one after another. It was like a show and just different things happening, magazine and press and all these different things. So that was really exciting. And I had to take each opportunity and they weren't going to come back to me. So that's how I ended up what I'm doing now, I guess.
Wow. That's so cool. Okay. So that was at OCAD, right? In Toronto?
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a good school.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah. And such a cool neighborhood and like just such a great place. And so was it there that you figured out the lint thing?
It was. So in my undergrad, I think that if you ask any of my professors, they probably would tell you that I was always experimenting with different materials throughout the entire time. And it was risky because I'm very much a perfectionist and like my marks to be up. So it was really not working that way for me. But I wouldn't have gotten to where I am without all those experiments. So I started like painting inside of pylons and doing these distorted images where when you put them against a mirror, they become flat again.
Wow.
And making paintings out of Jello and Kool-Aid and all these other things. And I wanted to do portraits out of wool because there's all these different colors and I thought it was going to work really well, but the wool just balls up when you try to use it. So I was doing laundry one day with my partner and he's like, look at the lint. And I was like, oh, the lint. So I tried it and it's really great. You can blend it and it's just great. I can do things with it that I wouldn't be able to if I was drawing or painting.
That is so cool. Yeah. And so like, did you just start asking like classmates for lint? Like how did you get all that lint? You must have done laundry every day.
I started collecting it halfway through third year and I wasn't doing too much laundry. No, I lived in a building. So I was like, I don't know who else is in here. So it kind of freaked me out. So I was collecting it a lot from like family and friends and teachers. Some of them gave me it as well.
And so would you tell people to do laundry with a red sock in there if you needed like something with a hint of red in it?
No, but then like, after years and years of collecting it, I've started to get all these different colors, like the reds and the orange and pinks. And at the beginning, I had like one piece of pink and one piece of like this bright blue. And I'm like, what am I going to do with these colors? So one of my newer pieces, it's a Bruin. I don't know if you saw it. It's a female portrait.
I saw. Is it on the very front of your site?
It is.
Yeah, and it's all like pastel colors. Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, that one took me so long to do because I was so intimidated by the color. So I was working on it and afraid to wreck it, but I was still so excited. So it took a really long time.
How big is it?
It's 16 by 20. It's not very big, but it took up a lot of my life for a while.
Yeah, well, it's so detailed. There's so many colors in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so were you you're just more comfortable working with the neutrals because that's what you've been working with.
For a long time, yeah. Yeah.
I don't want you to give away your secrets, but, and you don't have to at all, but how is it attached?
It's through felting.
Oh.
Point process, yeah.
Does it take forever to make those?
The 16 by 20 ones take about 80 hours.
Whoa.
No, 40 hours for those ones, but the really detailed ones are probably double that. They take forever. But I enjoy it. And it's not something you can do consistently, you know, like your back begins to hurt and your elbows. I had tennis elbow for the longest time doing those, but I enjoy it. I enjoy it.
Is it on a table and you're over it?
Yeah, because I can't stand it up because otherwise the fibers just fall on my lap.
Right, right. Yeah, so of course your shoulders and stuff would get, and your neck would get stiff, I'm sure.
Yeah, so when I first started doing them, the first portrait I think took me 7 weeks straight working on it, like 8 in the morning till probably 5 or 6 at night. And those were the big ones. They're like 5 feet tall. And those, I could work on it more consistently, but now that I've been doing it for so long, it's like 2 or 3 hours at a time, take a break, do it again.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And so well, you'll have to let me know. I put a big post together with every podcast episode and put it up on my site so people can see the work that we're talking about. So you'll have to let me know which one was the first one.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And I'll put it in. And then so when I wrote about you the first time, it was all the portraits, and there, I think I put some of just the regular ones, but then there were also the mirrored looking ones.
Yeah.
So tell me about those. Like, I have lots of questions about those. So first things first, the mirror thing.
Yeah.
Why and how?
So my work has been a lot about, they came from my own personal feelings of like morality and loss and admiration and questioning those things. And then our natural human desire to like seek memories. So it all started with that. And the first ones, the very first one I did, I was trying to put a lot of detail into it. And then someone had said to me, what about leaving negative space? And I was like, that makes so much more sense. It makes it so much faster and it makes it more interesting. So I started doing that. And then once I began to get bored and I'm like, okay, this is becoming really repetitive. So I started playing with the images on acetate. I'm not really a very Photoshop-y kind of person. So I'd prefer to build things by hands and do things by hands, right? I just started playing with acetate and fiddling with them. And that kind of came back to like the whole blur and how do you see images in your mind that you can't piece together if the photograph doesn't exist and all these different things.
That's beautiful. Yeah. You know, I always think I have certain memories of things as a kid, and then you're like, wait, is that an actual memory? Or is that because I've seen photos of that, or people have told me that story so many times that I think I know that memory? Yeah, that's really beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
And so is that why a lot of your subjects are sort of vintage looking?
They're vintage looking because I find them in vintage shops, antique shops, or flea markets, or just walking around the street. I've been finding actually a few of them even here, just like little passport photos even. But yeah, I just pick them up where I find them. But I really like the images from the 50s because they're just like these school photographs.
Yeah.
Just very, very much just a school photograph. That I just find them really interesting. And I was thinking that they were pretty nostalgic, and a lot of people had commented on my work being like this, of this time of nostalgia, and that's why people were kind of being drawn to them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started thinking about it like, but it's only nostalgic for a certain group of people. When you think about the wider range, the bigger world view, it's not a very nostalgic time, the 50s. So that's been interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that is really interesting. And is that why, I was going to ask you if these were people from your family, like if that's what I was wondering too. But then I just, when I was on your site, I noticed the letters.
Yeah.
That's very nostalgic. And so is that sort of where you evolved to from there?
Yeah. So each of the images that I was working on, I shouldn't say each of them, most of them had a personalized message on the back of them.
Mm.
And so they had this memory attached to them and this piece of writing specific to this one person, but that memory is completely gone when you take it away from the person who it belongs to. Do you know what I mean?
Totally, yes.
So I was doing all of these portraits, and then I started getting really interested in the back of the photograph and looking at the people, like at their line pressure and their fluidity of line. And I wanted to become like a forensic scientist and kind of like pick it apart and figure out where are they pressing down and what were their hand marks or their, like the writer's hand, what was it doing? And it's just really interesting to think that person is no longer there, but they have this trace of them.
Yeah.
Left that I find is really interesting. Yeah.
And then did you do the acetate thing again? Because they're really cool. Like, you know, the fact that you didn't just write them out, but they're like this, you know, almost Rorschach-y, like, flip. It takes you a minute to realize that they're words.
Yeah. I love doing the flip with them, like flipping the image on top of itself. I love it because it is kind of unfamiliar at first, and then when you start to look at it, you start to see how it is, how it's been pulled together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just looks like a messy pattern, but yeah,
yeah,
it looks so.
And then it is cool because it is so familiar. Like as soon as you read that, it's like a little love message, or that, you know, it's, yeah, it's so, oh, they're so beautiful. And I found those because I was like, well, I better go see what she's been up to before we have this call. And I found those, and out loud, I was like, oh,
yeah.
I love
them.
Yeah. And so.
I really enjoy doing the text pieces.
Is that what you've been doing lately?
I've been experimenting. I've been in a research phase right now. I want to get out so much of this creative juice that's flowing right now, but, you know, school's been tying me in so much. So I've been really just playing with materials a lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some work on the go. I begin, cross stitching.
Oh,
and that's going to be the next thing that's coming up, I believe. Yeah. And, those, again, they're going back to the portraits that I've created and just breaking them down and bringing them back down to their original size. So, yeah, it's just a deconstruction, I guess.
Wow. Okay, what did you just say about school? So are you teaching there or are you doing more school?
So I was in school for the past year and a half, and that kind of sucked all my life out of me.
Yeah.
it's a totally different thing being back in school. And then, yeah, so now I'm teaching up here with the intention that I'd be able to teach during the day and work at night. But it's been a little bit more difficult than that because it's kind of a full time, even though it's supply teaching, it's been quite full time.
Yeah.
But I really am like digging to get back into my work a lot more heavily like I was right before going to school.
Mm-hmm. And so what are you teaching? Are you in high school, elementary, college? What are you doing?
High school.
High school. Oh,
I'm high school right now. For now.
Wow. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's so funny because I always ask, you know, when you have a job like that, you know, when you're an art teacher by day or you're a designer by day or whatever, you have like a creative job during the day,
mm-hmm.
you get home and in a way you're totally jazzed up because you've been doing other stuff with other people's work all day and you're like, I want to make my own. But then sometimes you get home and you're just like creatively tapped. So are you getting home and you're tired or are you getting home and you're like, you're ready to go?
No, I think I'm getting home and I'm ready to go. A lot of what I'm doing too is a lot of reading and research and exploring the art scene here and artists around the world. It's really interesting to see the shows that they're having here. There was just an African art fair,
mm-hmm.
which was really, really cool. I feel like I haven't got to see work like that before. I mean, unless it's AGO or something like that, you know?
Yeah. You're in a really good spot for a whole bunch of stuff. And that's so great. Like, yeah, make time and go just roll around in it and enjoy all of it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just a new thing, right? Like it's all new to me. So it's very exciting right now. And, like, I can't wait to go back home, but
yeah,
just something new right now.
How long are you there for?
A year.
Yeah. And you got there in August?
I did.
Yeah. It'll fly by.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. And then, and then you'll just be settled and it'll time to come back.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to see this next phase. And that must be so fun. Like if you've always sort of been an experimenter, it must be quite fun to like, you know, be planning on what you're going to dip your toes into next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know Ben Skinner by any chance?
I don't. No.
He's a Vancouver based artist and he is, he's a good friend of mine now, but I always just shake my head at him. He is like the king of experimenting with materials. And it seems like he just has no fear of anything. And it's like, he's used candy sprinkles and gold leaf and marbling and like all this crazy stuff. And he's just always trying. So you should look him up because I think you'd probably appreciate his experimental spirit.
Yeah, good. I've never heard of him before, so I just wrote his name down, actually.
Go look. And he actually shows in Toronto quite a bit, too. So who knows? You guys might cross paths once you're back.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. Okay, so what was I going to ask you next? Do you think that so you're teaching now, you went back to school to get your education
Yeah.
degree. And so is that the plan, or would you like to be a full-time artist, or what, or a combo?
That is like the all-time career to be a full-time artist. But I have a huge student loan I got to pay off. So I'm trying to keep up both for now so I can get that done. And I think when I come back to Canada, I'll be applying for a master's as well. To get I need to get more I need some feedback on my work, I think, and the direction that it's going. So I think I'm at a point where it'd be really good to get back in to a school setting. Yeah.
Oh, I wonder where you'll go.
I
That's
don't know.
exciting. That's exciting. I know, I was just saying I was speaking at CCA in San Francisco, and I haven't been back in an art school in a really long time. And they're all like 19, 20, and I was just like, duh, I kind of want to go back. Like, I had such a terrible experience when I was in art school when I did my BFA. But now, all these years later, I'd be so curious to see myself in that setting now.
Oh, I think you always think that. Like, I always feel like I wish I could go back to first year and do it all over because it would be so much better. But yeah, so I think that we all feel that way. We want to go back. It's a good place to be, art school.
Yeah, I know. And I just, at that age, I didn't get it. I was scared, like all these different things. And now it would be so fun to go back. And I didn't appreciate, like, I was a printmaking minor. And then you
Yeah.
graduate and it's like, oh, like you have no access to presses or, all like the cool,
No.
like the litho stones and all this stuff that was just there with your name on it,
Yeah.
And I would just appreciate it so much more if I went back now.
You know. You'd make some, like, ambitious work, I think, because you've got space, you have a place to put it. It's
I
not taking up
know.
big room.
I
Yeah.
know. So if any art students are listening, appreciate all the materials you have and all the stuff around you, because now I'm like, oh man, I should have lived it up a little more.
I know. I wish I didn't go as early as I did. And I was 19 when I went, and I wish I would have given it some more time and seen a little bit of the world before I went. But just to have more experience, you know, before jumping in, because I don't think I was ready. But
Me either.
I love it.
I had nothing to say yet.
Exactly.
Like, that's what I was saying to the students I was talking to. I was like, I kind of felt bad after I said it, because I was like, oh wait, are you all 19? But I just felt like, what am I supposed to? And my school was really conceptual, so that like they're I just wanted to learn how to paint, but that's not what that school was about. It was very conceptual, but I was like, I have nothing to say. Like, I went to pub night on Thursday. I was pretty hungover on Friday. I could paint about that, I guess. Like, I just had nothing, like nothing had happened to me yet. And now at 43, it's like I have lots of stuff that I can, talk about. And maybe I should go back and be that lady in her 40s who puts up her hand every 10 seconds.
No, love those people. I love them. You learn so much from them.
We had a couple of them, and I was just, they were so into it. And I remember being a little bit jealous. Like, you could tell that this is what they wanted it so badly. Anyway, maybe one day.
I just felt like they were so much more ahead of me. I was like, oh, when am I going to be that smart? Oh.
I know they always say that, right? If you could go back with your brain now, just imagine. Well, maybe you'll do that with your master's.
Well, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, I have to just quickly ask about your cross stitching thing. So does that mean we're saying goodbye to the lint for a little bit?
I don't think so, because I'm making them at the same time right now. I have my cross stitch, I have one piece that's almost finished, and I have a lint piece that's just started. So
Oh, phew.
I'm keeping up with both.
Okay, good. I wasn't ready to say goodbye to the lint yet.
Yeah, even the detailed portraits I was making at the same time as the other one still. Like I feel like I get bored really easily, so I have to switch it up.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good advice. So many people have said that, right? And also just for if you get bored and also if you get blocked, like if you're just getting frustrated with one, it's kind of nice to have something else going on instead of just that one perfect one.
Right. And something that's different, I feel like, is a really good way to, you know, get your ideas flowing in a new direction.
Yeah. That might lead even to a happy accident. That might be a whole new series.
Exactly. Yeah. Happy accident.
Yeah. And so, actually, I wanted to, you said it right at the beginning. I thought it was kind of interesting that after all this experience and after you making all these pieces, that the color one made you a little bit nervous.
Yeah, it did.
Why do you think? Like, just like.
I think that I used to paint before I started the lint stuff. Yeah. It was a lot of acrylic painting, and it was always in color, and I loved color. But with the lint work, my palette is so limited usually, and even if I run out of a color, I'm kind of, you can't recreate it.
Yeah.
You can't just, it's a new color. So I've been used to looking at it in a tonal range, I think, more than in colors. So, or, you know, it's a totally different thing when you add so much color to the mix, because then you can't just look at it for the black and white, but it's all different. This range is different. The shades are different. The colors, it's just different. So I think it kind of freaked me out. So on some of the portrait, the girl that I was speaking about, there's a shadow that goes on her cheek and it starts off like really red, and I have to blend it into a beige, but I think that happened because I ran out of one of the colors. So a lot of it is where I used to make it up. I'm not able to do that. And I don't know, it's kind of scares me a little bit when I get into the color, because I am so limited. If I run out, what do I do? And
Right. So do you think you'll keep playing with color, or is that experiment over?
No, I'll keep doing it as long as I can keep enough of the color around. So like if I have enough colors around, I'll keep doing it. But it took me so long to collect those colors that it's hard to keep it up.
Like, so what are you doing now that you're there? Like, now you have to like meet new friends and ask for their lint.
Oh my goodness. It's a funny story. I came to London with a whole bunch of canvas frames. And I came to London with my cross-stitching materials, and I forgot the string for those and had to go out looking for that. And that was difficult in itself. But then with the lint, I didn't bring any lint because I was like, oh, you know, London will have some. I'll ask people. Nope. No one has a dryer here.
Oh. No.
So I went to a laundromat after waiting 4 weeks for my lint to arrive from Canada that I got my mom to package up for me. It got stuck at customs, and they opened it. I can't imagine what they were thinking. Oh, my goodness. So after all that wait, I went to a laundromat, and the girl was like, do you want the fluff? What do you want the fluff for? It's kind of funny, but just thinking that it was held up at customs is kind of hilarious.
I wonder what they must have thought.
I know.
Did they poke all around in it? Like, was it all messy when you got it?
I don't know if it was messy. I don't know what order it went in as, but the package was definitely all ripped up and taped up again. And it was pretty funny getting it and being like, I wonder what they were thinking when they opened that package.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. And then, so did the lady at the laundromat give you the fluff?
Yeah, she did. She gave me a bag of it, yeah.
And so was that kind of neutrals? Was there any colors in there?
No, it's pretty neutral.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gonna be tough, but I'll just keep bringing some back at Christmas and getting my family to send it up, I think.
That is so hilarious. Like, what a weird thing. Like, you maybe if at Christmas you can just get a stocking full of everybody's dryer lint.
I know.
Now I want to like wash all my red stuff and send you pink and red in a little ball.
Yeah, but it might get held up at customs.
True. there should just be a big stamp that says this is for an artist, like don't ask questions.
Oh my god, well that's what it should say. I think my mom wrote something like that on the package and I was like, oh no.
That's gonna be even worse. Now they're really gonna want to see what's in there.
Yeah, and check it out.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute. Well, do you ever take unsolicited lint, or do you prefer to know your sources?
I think I've only ever known my sources, so I've never really thought about it too much. See, I guess except for that bag of lint I was pretty desperate for.
That's right. So you could put out an online call for, like, instead of a Kickstarter thing for cash, it could be like a Kickstarter for lint, and you could just imagine you could get lint from all over the world.
Yeah,
that's well, if funny. They have dryers.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Who would think that you need to bring lint with you? Like,
nobody. Nobody would ever think that.
No.
Okay. Oh, I have to cough. We both have colds. You haven't coughed yet, though. That's good.
No, it's been pretty good so far.
Okay, and I sound all stuffed up, but I'm doing my best. Okay, so the only other thing, the not-so-speedy speed round.
All right, here we go.
This started out as the speed round, but I always talk too much. Okay. Mm-hmm. High heels or flats?
Flats.
Oh, really? Yes. saw a very nice picture of you in a gallery, and you looked fancy, and I thought you were going to say heels.
Oh, no. That's very special.
Me too. I'm flats all the time.
Yeah.
If there's heels, I'm usually sitting down because I can't handle them for very long.
No, same. I think that as we get older too, we don't have the threshold for the beauty pain thing.
No, we don't. That's enough. I'll just kick these off.
It.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've been in the UK now since August. So, your favorite thing to eat in the UK? Something new. Have you discovered anything new?
Yes. There's a Bengali restaurant across the road, and their biryani is amazing.
Take out or eat in?
Eat in.
Oh, nice. Nice. That sounds really good, actually. Have you tried any of the weird? I love chips. Everybody now knows that. I talk about chips on, I think, every episode. But have you tried any of the weird potato chips there yet?
No.
There's so many weird flavors. There's like lamb and mint.
Oh, gosh. I've never seen that yet.
Yeah, keep your eyes open because there are some weird flavors. There's like roast chicken and something and like ham and mustard. I don't know. I think I made that one up. But there's like curry. There's all sorts of things.
You know what? I've tried prawn.
Yeah.
That was weird.
It is prawn. Weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yet strangely addictive.
Yeah. Yet, yeah. No, they weren't bad.
Yeah, I know. Okay, well, keep your eye out because you will find weird ones.
I want to find these lamb ones.
Pardon?
I want to find the lamb and what did you call it?
I think it's lamb and mint.
Oh gosh. That sounds so weird.
I know. I lived outside of Oxford for a summer and then London for a chunk of time. And because I have a deep love of potato chips, I tried all of them and some of them are delicious. Some of them are really weird. The chicken one's pretty good, but I did not enjoy the lamb and mint.
No, I have to try it. It sounds so strange to me.
I know. Now you'll know. Okay. The worst first date you've ever been on.
Oh, that's hard. I've been with my partner for so long that I don't think I've ever been on a first date besides with him. So,
did he come with, is he in London with you?
He is. He is in London. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's a nice adventure.
Yeah. I guess just like, I don't really know. Thinking that it was fancy to go out to McDonald's in high school, I think, was a pretty bad date.
Oh, yeah, that is bad. That wasn't him, was it? We're not going to throw him under the bus.
Oh, well, it was, but it was a mutual thing, so it just isn't any better.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's so cute. What grade did you start dating?
10.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's awesome and so sweet.
Oh, thank you.
I have really good friends that started dating in grade 10 or 11, and they're married with their daughters just started university this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I was just like, what? It's just so weird. They've been together like their whole lives, you know? Anyway. Very cool.
It's nice, though. You're your best friend, right?
So. Yeah, that is really nice. I have some real choice first date horror stories, but we're going to just move along anyway.
So funny. Yeah.
Okay. So I have a would you rather for you.
Okay. Let's hear
I'm curious what you're going to say. Would you rather go back in time to meet your ancestors or go into the future to meet your great-grandchildren?
Oh, I don't know.
That's a big one.
I think the future is so scary. I don't want to go in the future. Probably back in the past, I don't know anything about my ancestry. I know that my nan, who just passed away a couple years ago, her family came to Canada in like the 1700s. So wow. It's been a very long time. So I'd like to know more, I think.
Do you know where they came from?
Germany.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they're from Germany. Like, you never know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure.
Oh, that's so interesting. My family came really early too. My mom's family came in like 1685 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
From France. And then my dad's family came in the 17 somethings from Scotland.
Oh, wow.
Mm. So I'm very Canadian.
Yes, yeah. It feels so weird when people ask you where you're from and you say that you're Canadian, because you're like, oh, but am I? And you're like, yeah, I am kind of, because I've been there for so long.
Yeah, I know. It is kind of neat when you have an ancestry like that that really has been in Canada for that, like since the beginning.
Yeah, that's it's such a baby neat. Country.
Mm-hmm. So. I know. I was excited to hear you that you were Canadian and that we had, you know, like Kingston and Toronto and OCAD. Yeah. I actually took I didn't go there for school. I went to UVic, but I went to, when I was working in Toronto, I was working in that agency, and just for fun at night, me and a few of the design girls went to OCAD and took a jewelry class.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh my God. I was so bad at it.
Oh no.
Yeah. I'm not a details kind of person. Apparently when you're making jewelry and you're welding things, soldering things, you're supposed to be detailed.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't really go well.
I always wanted to take that course and I never was able to.
It was a really good course. I made some rings. Rings were pretty easy. I tried making earrings. I made a pin, but like everything was not quite right. I think I got a D, but I didn't really care because it wasn't actually coursework for me. It was me just trying to figure it out, because you were supposed to spend all these extra, it was a 3-hour class, but you're supposed to spend, I think, 9 hours or 6 hours during the week working on this stuff. But like I had a job, so I wasn't coming in to do the extra studio time. So I'd have blobby soldered, blah, blah. But it was really cool. And then I came back and I did another class at night that was like because I was a web designer. So I came back and did like a traditional print course, just like one night a week, and it was so fun. It's just such a cool school. Like there's such a good vibe in there.
Yeah, it's a very nice place to go to school. Like just looking at the building every day makes you want to get up in the morning and go see it. So it's really great. I loved it.
Yeah, it's good. Do you think you'd ever teach there, or will you always be like, when you're teaching, will it be in high schools and stuff?
I would love to teach people who love what they're doing.
Yeah.
Or don't, but are interested in progressing, you know. It's different. The high school, it's very much, a lot of people were like, you're gonna be teaching kids that don't care, and that's what it is. And it's so hard because I love teaching so much that it's hard for me to have that happening.
Yeah.
So I think university would be so much better, and OCAD I would love to, but I don't know if that opportunity will ever arise, but
I bet it will once you get your master's.
Oh, man, I would love to be there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll put it in the universe, and then the universe will hear us and make it all come together.
Fantastic.
I taught at York and Sheridan had a design program. I think they still have it. And so I taught a semester for that, and I was so excited because it was second year, and I thought, oh, they've all paid to be here. This is going to be great. Oh, my God. Oh, no.
No.
There was a guy that used to sleep in the back every time. And I also had the tough job that I was teaching on Fridays. So pub night was Thursday night. So my morning class was hungover. And then my afternoon class, it was their last class of the week.
Man.
Yeah. So don't teach on Fridays if you can avoid that. But a friend of mine was actually teaching a course at OCAD. And she said, she's like, here's the deal. There was like 20 kids in my class. She's like, there are going to be, let's say, five that are listening to you mm-hmm. and care. And she's like, teach them. Yeah. And she said, the rest of them can follow along if they want, but if they don't care, like it's not, you know, it's not high school. Like they have to be grown-ups here. And if they don't want to participate and they don't want, like, you know, screw them basically. And she said, just teach to those five and the others will probably come along. And I was like, no, I have to be the best teacher and teach everyone. And they're all going to learn and grow with me. And she was like, yeah, no, they're not. So, so I did that. I just taught to those five and everybody came along for the ride.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was really good advice. And the other really good advice she gave me was be mean from the first day. And yeah. I didn't do it. I got in there and I was like, hi, I'm Danielle. And ooh, I'm going to teach you and it's going to be great. And they were just like, sucker. And nobody listened to me. And she kept saying, just be a bitch. And I was like, oh, I don't know how to do that. And then I got to a point where I just couldn't handle it anymore. And I was like, listen, blah, blah, blah. And I laid it all down. And then like suddenly they were amazing. And I was like, oh, I should have probably come in and laid it all out the first day.
That's so interesting. I didn't think it would be like that at a university.
That's why I say it, because maybe, yeah, I didn't expect it either.
I have a romantic view.
Pardon?
I have a romantic view of it, I guess.
I had a romantic view of it too. And I think, I mean, it could have also been that it was second year. And, yeah. You know, like I think further on they'd be more engaged. And it was Friday. That was tough. But I thought that was such good advice when she just was like, you know what? Like, she's like, really think about it. In any class, there's only going to be a handful who are like really, really interested in this topic. So she, and when I did, it's not like I didn't ignore the other kids, but when I really focused on those ones, the other ones were sort of like, hey, what about us? You know? Yeah. And then all of a sudden they were way more interested and then it got really, really good. And by the end of the year, I was so sad to say goodbye to them. I mean, it was really only the first maybe 3 weeks that were really tough. And then saying goodbye to them was really hard. And I'm still, like, how many years ago? That was probably about 12 years ago. I'm still in touch with a handful of them.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
which really is nice. Really cool. So, yeah, I'm so excited to see what's ahead of you with all of that.
Yeah. It would make leaving easier, too, because you have, like, still a connection with them. Yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah, I know. And I was in the middle of moving from Toronto to Vancouver, so they asked me to come back the following year. So I would have seen some of them because they were still heading into third year, but I was moving and so had to say goodbye. But I actually hired one of them when I moved out to Vancouver. I hired one to come and work in the design studio I was working at there, which was really cool. And so, yeah, it is a really neat relationship that you develop with them.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. That's
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, it's so exciting to hear everything that you're up to and where everything's going to lead you. And I'll be paying attention. And now that we kind of know each other a tiny little bit more, then please keep me posted on what you're doing.
Yeah. I think right now I'm open to opportunities. And that's how I ended up here is like I had to take the opportunity to go teach in another country and live in another country and practice my other practice in the art world in another country, you know?
Yeah.
I think it opens so many more doors to do something like that, take that big risk.
Yeah. And I mean, just, it sounds like you've been doing that all along, like just with experimenting and being open. And it's so exciting because when you're, I mean, do you ever feel scared or do you just sort of go for it?
No, I am always terrified, but I think that that's how you grow and that's how you learn and that's how you find new things. So that's what I've been doing.
I love that.
Challenging.
Yeah. I'm sure podcast listeners have heard this story before, but I love this. My husband is the king of analogies and he always says, like, if we were making a really big decision about moving out west actually, and we couldn't decide and back and forth. And he said, you know, these things, like all of these scary things in life, he said, it's like a high dive. And the longer you stand up on the high dive without jumping, the colder it gets, the wind gets stronger, the pool looks really far away, the water looks really cold. But as soon as you actually jump, the jump is usually really fun. The pool is never as cold as you think it's going to be. And the next time you climb the ladder, it's that much easier to jump.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And I love that analogy. And so every time I freak out about something like writing a new book or doing a TEDx talk or things that I think, oh God, I don't want to do that, but I know I should. Mm-hmm. I just picture being on the high dive and it's just like, well, let's see what the water's like today, you know, yeah. And you just jump and it always works out fine.
Yeah. It's important to make yourself uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been uncomfortable for a long time. How about you?
Sorry?
I said, I've been uncomfortable for a really long time. How about you?
Oh yeah. Me too. But it's a good thing.
Yeah,
it's a good thing.
It is. Well, I can't wait to see what your uncomfortableness leads you to next.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this is so fun. And so I will do a great big post on my site, and I'll just email you to get a few of those so that I know what your first lint piece was and stuff like that so that I can pop them in the post and everyone can see them.
Excellent. Sure.
Okay. Well, enjoy London and go find the chips and tell me what you think.
I will.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Seriously, can I make it through an episode without mentioning chips? Anyway, that was great. My favorite part? The fact that Tanya is always a tiny bit terrified, but goes for it anyway. I also love her willingness to experiment and take risks. That truly is the key to artistic greatness. Thanks so much to Tanya for talking to me at the end of a very long day. Thanks to Saatchi Art for supporting this episode. Oh, and before I go, guess what? Yes, my new book, Your Inner Critic is a Big Jerk, that I've been yapping about for ages, is finally on shelves all over the world. And the audiobook that I got to narrate is officially ready to download on audible.com. If you don't have an Audible account already, you can use my link, audibletrial.com/jealouscurator, to get a free book and a free 30-day trial. That, by the way, you can cancel whenever you like. I just finished 5 book events in San Francisco, and this week I am heading out to Seattle and Portland, so I hope that I get to see lots of you out there. All of the information is on my site under the speaking section. Okay, I am officially done talking about me now, so it's time to talk about you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. There will be more Art for Your Ear next weekend. See you then.